Welcome to episode 359 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and George. After what has felt like forever, we here at Outlander are so excited to be able to share that river cruising is back. Last week, Lindsay took one for the team and traveled to Europe to sail with AMA Waterways aboard the recently refurbished AMA Bella. So let's get started. So tell us about, how did you get ready?
So I originally thought that I was going to have to register online to fly, because I was flying into Munich. So I was checking for that quite frequently. I did take a COVID test, although it was not necessary because I was vaccinated. So they did want us to show up with, if possible, to show up with a PCR or an antigen test, just in case. 3 days prior, or 72 hours prior to my arrival flight, which can be a little bit tricky when you're talking about flying from the West Coast and arriving into into Munich.
You're crossing a bunch of time zones.
Quite a bit of math involved in that. So there was that. It was not necessary, though. And I was kind of flying on the cusp of a regulation change for Germany, for the U.S., for people traveling from the U.S., because I kept checking for that online registration, and it wasn't there. I didn't have to do it. And I checked in for my flight on the 14th in Seattle, got into San Francisco on the 14th, and the lady at Seattle would look too, and she's like, no, it's not here. And in San Francisco, they were handing out a paper copy, which is essentially, it's just a contact tracing information, basically, that Germany wants from US travelers. And you can do it now after the 15th, August 15th, you were able to do it online. So had I flown a day later, I would have been able to do it online. It would have taken like 2 seconds. There would have been no wondering about it. But so that was about it. We had an online health screening registration through AMA Waterways, which is standard for all the cruises I've taken so far. It was all very seamless and easy to do. When I arrived arrived at the airport, I did have to show my vaccination card multiple times to board my flight, as to be expected. So don't put it away. You have to show it a couple times. And then, of course, then coming back out was the same way. One thing that was a little bit different about this trip is I did have to plan to have an N95 mask. An actual N95, they say that you can bring surgical masks or N95 masks, but I did see people being turned away that had surgical masks in certain areas throughout Europe. So it's just better to have the actual official N95 mask.
And so fabric ones wouldn't
no,
fly.
No, they do not acknowledge the fabric ones at all. And in fact, I did see somebody in front of me that had, she had to go to the store and buy. They made her go buy before she could board the plane. And then you're also going to need that You're also going to need that throughout Europe as well, because you do have to have those masks on to go into stores and to go into restaurants to be served. And a lot of the restaurants do have where you have to register. So we would scan a QR code and then do your contact tracing registration. And it was really simple to do. And then I had to show a vaccination card in order to get into, once was a store and once was a restaurant. But they say carry it with you, mm-hmm. just so you have it on you.
That's really good information.
So that was pretty much about the big thing in preparing for this was I knew that I would have to carry it everywhere with me. So I put it in a little waterproof zipper plastic thingy, and
you didn't have to wear that on the plane, right? You just had to wear that in Europe.
No, I had to, well, on the plane, because I was flying Lufthansa. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I think even Delta, because I bought my flight through Delta, so I had to have it on for Delta too. A N95 surgical, although on the flight back with which was just operated by Lufthansa, they were not allowing surgical. It was
okay.
Only. Okay. So just FYI, I would just buy a box and take them with you. That's the best tip I can give you.
So tell us about the ship itself. Once you actually got into Munich and everything, and you did a little shopping and all, which is fun. And then you got to the ship, the Amabella. Tell us about the Amabella.
I did more eating and drinking in Munich than shopping. I didn't actually do any shopping in Munich, but the first thing I did when I got there was get a beer.
Amen.
It was so early in the morning. I felt so silly, but that was all I wanted was a beer, and I wanted I wanted sauerkraut and sausage in the worst way. But
you know what? When in Rome, you do as the Romans do. So, or when in Germany, you do as the Germans do. You
know, I have to say, I saw pictures of this ship before, and it was beautiful when the lounge area was black and white. It was a gorgeous ship. I mean, Bella means beauty, right? Alma's love, Bella's beauty. And she truly is a gorgeous ship, but they just redid her. And I was blown away every time I walked into the lounge area. The patterns and the colors that they used on the, and I won't gush about this too much because most people don't care about the fabrics on the couches, but just the most beautiful color combination I have ever seen on any ship. I actually really did love that in the fabric in the dining area as well. So she just recently had a facelift. and she's very, very beautiful. So I think we were at maybe 70-ish people on board. So
about 50% capacity, a little bit lower than.
Yeah, something around there. The whole bottom deck was, the piano deck was left open just in case, for worst case scenarios, which I think is kind of wonderful of Alma to do. In fact, this whole entire season, they have been upgrading people from the bottom to the second, to the cello deck, and then from the cello to the violin deck, just to keep their passengers safe. And first thing right away, when we were greeted outside, with a tent and a table, and they were handing us fresh drinks, and they were taking people's temperature, and they were making sure that the people who looked like they shouldn't be standing in the sun weren't standing in the sun. And there was really no wait. I mean, we were right in, and I was so impressed. My bags were not tagged with my name at all. I did not have a luggage tag on them, and yet they were magically in my stateroom. So I was super impressed with that, with everybody arriving at once, that they were still able to do that.
Outlander Travel does not recommend that you do not tag your bags, by the way.
Yes, no, Outlander Travel does not recommend it, but I had anticipated that I would be carrying my own luggage. I was not. I just thought I just had a little carry-on, so a little.
A picture of that carry-on.
So, but yeah, the ship was gorgeous. The staff was fantastic. This was their first sailing back. So everyone was really excited. So this was kind of their trial run with us. And, I think they did very, very well. The service was above and beyond. The food was amazing. The wine was incredible. The entertainment was very good. They did bring in local entertainment from some of the ports where we were. One thing that was a little interesting and might be a little bit different from, it was definitely different from my last cruise. And my timeline was popping up because 2 years ago, to the date, to the same week, I was on a river cruise. And so all my memories were popping up on Facebook at the same time. But there is no dancing allowed right now in countries throughout Europe because of COVID. So we did have music and we had entertainment, and then we had professional dancers, and all of the professionals that they brought on board were vaccinated and they were tested before they were allowed on board. So they did really go above and beyond cleaning wise, making sure everything was safe. We were asked to stay in our own little pods and bubbles for who we were eating with in the evenings and who we were hanging out with on the ship, which was which was wonderful. We did have to wear masks when we were in the close quarters, and anybody who's been on a river cruise ship knows how tiny those hallways can feel when you're passing someone. So that makes complete sense. But when you were eating, or if you were in the lounge area enjoying a cocktail, you did not have to. And that was wonderful. I did something on this cruise that you're not going to believe me, but I did stretching classes.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you like them?
I loved them. I loved them. In fact, AMA has the onboard wellness coach, which is something kind of unique to this brand. And I have to say, I think it's a genius idea. And it's kind of the best kept secret, because I think if more people had known, there'd been more people in those classes, because it really did. On the days I made it down to class, it made such a big difference in all the walking. Versus the days that I missed it. And then Goran was so nice, but he would see me in the hallway and he'd like.
Yeah, if it wasn't so early in the morning, I think I would have done it when I did mine, but it was so early.
It was worth it. It was so well worth it. And I think I'm going to make it a point to that's one change I'm making in my life, at home. From a river cruise.
That's actually been a goal of mine, to start doing stretching classes. So that's good to know that you enjoyed them there. I'm curious about, we probably won't have time to talk about all of your excursions and your stops. We've done Danube cruise talks before, but I am curious how it was different. You know, you even mentioned you could compare directly to last year. Did you have to stay in your pod when you were touring around?
No, you were free to roam about. You didn't have to take the suggested tours. You could go out on your own if you wanted to. And in fact, I got to try out some brand new technology. We were the first AMA Waterways cruise ship to get to use this. It's their Quiet Box system that they use on the tours, but it's even better. It's you get these maps and you pick them up at the excursion desk, and they're called Finding Your Way. And there, for each major city that they visit, is a map, and there's pictures and kind of a suggested walking tour if you wanted to go out on your own. But what's great is when you have that Quiet Box, this little voice box that hangs around your neck on a lanyard, and you have a little earpiece so that you can hear your guide when you're on the guided tours. Well, on the bottom of that is a little scanner in the QR that you can scan. You just touch it to the paper where the pictures are, and an actor comes on, or an actress comes on, and tells you about the place that you are interested in, and tells you stories and backstories. And I did find out that even I compared it to doing the tour, and what I learned on the tour and what I learned through the self-guided was completely different. And the best thing about these, as somebody who is, I do not miss a history talk. I was down there for every single one. I am such a nerd when I'm on these ships. All the history classes I slept through in school, I'm making up for now, voluntarily as an adult. But I went through every single one of these maps, even what if you're not in the city, as long as you still have that, the Quiet Box technology and the map, you can listen to each story independently in your room, which I thought was amazing. And especially if you have a room like I did, where you could open your entire wall and watch as you float by the world. And that was probably my favorite thing. My two favorite things on this were being able to open my entire wall for my French balcony. And it was so great at night, because I get a little hot or stuffy, and then I could open the wall and then just lay there, and the breeze would cool the room down in like less than 5 minutes, and I could fall asleep listening to the water and then wake up in the morning to the sunrise. And then it just depends on where we were. One time I woke up and we were in a lock, and that was a little weird, but for the most part, it woke up and it's this beautiful sunlit field, or these old castles, or the older villages, and it's just breathtakingly gorgeous and one of my favorite ways to see the world. So the Finding Your Way Quiet Box, this will put me on another AMA ship. It was that good.
Also, that sounds really neat. I can't wait to try that out.
I will tell you all about it when I go in April.
Well, I'm going in November, so I will tell you all about it. Assuming we can still go. We'll compare notes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really cool cities on the Danube that you went to. So like we asked before, so what was your favorite excursion that you did?
It's like picking your favorite child. Just go ahead. Pick one.
Yeah. I don't know that I can. Okay. So I have to say this. Chesky Krumlov. Hands down. Chesky Krumlov. And I cannot wait to go back. And I'm going to go back for multiple days. I'm going to take a beer tour with me. I'm going to take a river cruise pre-beer tour group with me. This is, it's the most beautiful city. It escaped the bombings. It wasn't, it's everything I thought that I hate to even say this because I'm going to offend somebody, but it's everything I had wanted Mont-Saint-Michel to be when I went. You're walking into this untouched little medieval village, but only in Mont-Saint-Michel, you're climbing up all these stairs and every store has the same stuff in it. And you're kind of it's like Disney World now, and you get to the top and it's still great and wonderful, but this was completely different. It was like walking back into time, and each of the shops, there was handmade crafts and goods. There were cafes where you could sit outside and have a beer. There was a river with rapids in a little, a raft elevator or a raft section rapid where you go down the rapids in a raft or kayaks. So I know I'll be doing that on my next, my return there, but I couldn't stop smiling the whole time I was there. I mean, from the moment I saw, we were walking up and saw the old, castle remnants, the old wall where the guards would have been in the little cutout, little window cutouts, to when we first come in and the sun was just shining down and we climbed all the way up, to the top of the castle grounds and just looking out over the city and seeing the rooftops and seeing I've seen some beautiful places in the world, but that touched all of my touch points for, it was gorgeous. It had the history and the medieval,
Where is that? Is that in Germany?
No, that's in the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
So I did take a tour to the Czech Republic. We did cross the checkpoint. I did not get a stamp in my passports, which is one more reason why I have to go back to prove that I was there. but the beer there was wonderful. And it's kind of unique because every restaurant has a contract with a different brewery. So you can't just go to one restaurant and try multiple beers, multiple local beers. You kind of have to go around to try different things, but there's a medieval torture a museum that's in the same building as the police department, which was very interesting. There's just so much charm, and yeah, it's a little kitschy, but there's still a lot of real original charm and things to love about it, and the fact that there's so many locally made, artisan made goods and crafts that are sold there really had that authenticity to it. So I'm excited to go back.
Well, I know where I have to go now.
Yeah. I imagine you must have brought home two suitcases then. You went with one and came back with two.
No, I knew I was coming back, and I know I'm going to be back there next year. So I really tried to control myself. I did bring my little duffel bag that folds down into like an envelope and then you can unfold it. And I did bring back like 8 things of mustard. From all over Germany, and because I was almost out of my mustard and I was freaking out when I almost ran out of mustard. I was like, I don't know when I'm gonna get to go back and go buy more mustard. So it's the cheesiest thing to buy on vacation, but I like to buy food. And we went to the Wahoo Valley, and of course they're known for the apricots, and so I bought apricot jam, and I bought this giant bottle of apricot bellinis, or to make apricot mimosas. So you just mix it with Prosecco and some apricot gin and some, that was about it though. I did really good. I didn't, I came home with more guidebooks than anything else, but that's always, it's 50 pounds of guidebooks. If I don't come home with a guidebook, was I ever really there?
Well, see, yeah, I do the same thing, but then I also have, 24 cans of beer.
Yeah.
I didn't bring home any beer. I did all of my beer tasting there. I did find a bunch of really great craft breweries that are kind of off the wall, off the beaten path, and some in Budapest that I couldn't find on my last trip. So I'm so excited. They really propped up in the last few years. Beer that wasn't there the last time I was there. And I was really excited about that. I found some in the big, there's a amazing two-story marketplace in Budapest that's kind of a must-see while you're there. And there was a wonderful little booth that had some local craft beers.
So the beer was still really cheap, because the last time I was there the beer was stupid cheap.
No. Oh, well, the crappy beer is stupid cheap.
Well, it wasn't crappy beer. It wasn't the best beer, but it was good beer.
I shouldn't say the crap, but the less tasty beer is still a little cheap. But the craft brewery stuff has a little bit of a price tag to it. You know, it's not too bad. Just, I want to say like almost €3. So about what you'd pay here for a beer.
Yeah.
For a Budweiser.
But it was really good. I mean, I had the blueberry beer that was really good. Oh, I had like a elderflower beer that was amazing. So good. There was, we could talk about beer for like 10 hours. So won't bore anybody, but I definitely have, and I got some contacts for, to go back for my brewery tour. So I'm excited about that. So that was probably my two most favorite things were Český Krumlov and then getting to go. And I did see completely different things this time. I did go to completely different ports. I was with a different cruise line last time. So I think that's part of it, is they tend to have different showcase different areas. And I did go to Melk Abbey.
So you didn't do that last time?
No, I get to see that.
I love Melk Abbey.
Library.
That library is just amazing.
I just wanted to stay there and huff the books.
Well, and you probably saw this. Well, maybe not, because you were there in August, but it's now a school. Like, there are kids who go to school there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Our tour guide, and it's been a school for years and years and years. And our tour guide actually went through and graduated from school there. Mm-hmm. So that was wonderful to get to see that. And I really did like that too, but there were so many good things in Dürnstein. We had a night out and did some wine tasting in Dürnstein, but there's a vending machine in this tiny little town in the Wahoo Valley, has this gorgeous, beautiful piece of machinery that vends wine. Either in single bottles, beer in single bottles. There's some snacks down at the bottom. The other side of the vending machine, you can get whole entire cases of wine or beer. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You need to give me the GPS coordinates for that.
How can a vending machine have cases of beer? That's like, how big is this thing?
I took a video of it. I posted a video in the group.
I'll have to go look for it. You know, sometimes Facebook doesn't show me everything, and it's really annoying because people are like, you know, I posted that. I'm like, didn't see it.
Oh, they must have thought I was crazy, because here's this little like dirt road town. We're talking tiny, tiny, tiny little town. And here's this glorious vending machine. Oh my God. We are no
video worthy. It's Insta worthy. So.
So that's my aspiration, is that my tiny little town here can get one of those.
So to finish things out, so how did it work when it was time to go home? Did Amma take care of all your testing and everything?
So Amma did take care of my testing. Now I actually we did have to pay for it, but they gave us the option to set it up through them. Had I been staying a little bit longer, I would have had to do it on my own, because of course you have to have it 3 days before you go back to the US, but I was only spending one extra night in Budapest. So I was able to test in Bratislava, and it was quite honestly the fastest I've ever taken a test. I literally walked up to the third floor room, told them my name, showed my thing, went in, they swabbed and left. And then, that night, I don't even think it was the next day. I think it was like that night at dinner, I got an email with my results. So it was very fast, very efficient. It was not painful. I really loved how they did it. But when you only have 70 or so people, you're not. Yeah, it really just
helps.
And how are the airports going and coming? Did you find that things move smoothly?
Yes. I do think that things move smoothly. I would advise leaving extra time. Definitely always extra time connecting through Frankfurt. I did see some people who were struggling. I'm not sure. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I saw some very heated discussions and struggling with somebody having a missed flight or something of that nature. So, making sure you have enough time to make those connections in Frankfurt, because that is a very long line to get through their passport check area there to make your connecting flight. So you really need to make sure you have the appropriate amount of time. But yeah, it was, other than that, that's how it was before COVID anyway. It was, Frankfurt's always been a,
yes, it's bottleneck. Big and busy. Yeah.
Big and busy. Let's see. So what else should I share? Oh,
did you do anything different in Vienna? I mean, that's one of those cities that, you know, there's.
I did. I had the most amazing time in Vienna, and I went completely off script. I went rogue. My whole intention was to go to Schönbrunn Palace. That's what I was going to do. I did the walking tour in Vienna, and then I was going to hop myself onto the subway and go to Schönbrunn Palace and then come back in. And I met up with some people from the ship, and we ended up, they were going to the Sigmund Freud Museum. And I thought, you know, that sounds amazing. And I went out to the Sigmund Freud Museum with them, which I'm so glad that I did, because it's not something I would have ever been on my radar before. And then one of the ladies had to go back to the ship, and my new friend and I, which is one of the things about river cruising that I like, is you meet the most amazing people. You make new friends. It's so easy to make new friends when there's, you know, less than 200 people on a cruise ship. You're going to run into each other over and over again. And it creates these amazing moments. And so we were kind of walking around looking for something to do. I wanted to go to a tiki bar in Vienna. And that was, of course, I found a tiki bar in Linz, but it was closed. So I found a tiki bar in Vienna, and it was kind of hard to locate. So we were on our way walking, trying to figure out if we're going to take a taxi to this tiki bar, and look over, and there is the scooter place. And it looks like the scooters are for sale, and they have these really big fat off-road type tires, and it just looked kind of fun. So we go over to check this scooter place out, and the guy's like, you can rent them. What? You can rent them by the hour? So my new friend didn't want to do it. And God bless her, she ever finds this and listens to this, she's such a good sport, because I was like, go, let's do this. We have to.
Wait,
do this.
You became Sandy for a minute.
I did. I channeled my inner Sandy. Wow. And in like one of the busiest driving cities was like, let's get these motorized scooters.
I would have done it.
Yeah. It was the best time. We got lost. I will say we did get lost because the GPS on my phone was not keeping up with like real time. So we kept circling and getting smaller circles around the tiki bar I wanted to go to, but we just kept missing wherever it was we should have been turning, and we couldn't figure it out because by the time it would update. So we probably drove around for like 2 hours lost, but there they have these amazing bike paths, which the scooters can ride on. And then in the areas where no bikes are allowed, then no scooters are allowed either. And you can park them up by the other bikes. And, but it was a fantastic experience. I will say I was a little nervous leaving the tiki bar, riding the scooter back, but at night when there's nobody out, it's so much fun to ride those things. So I will definitely do that again. Every time I'm in Vienna, I'm going to make time for a few hours to tool around on one of those little scooters. And I found a place in Budapest to do it as well. And I actually did find a tiki bar in Budapest as well that I went and visited. So it would have been three on this trip if the one in Linz had been open, but next time. I know. So dorky.
No, it's not bad. That's awesome.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find us our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.